Good morning, SBC. It is so great to be here with you, and thank you for tuning in this morning. You are in for a real treat today. I am very happy and delighted to be able to introduce you to Jeremy and Leah Cron. Many of you will know them. They've been part of SBC's family for 19 years, but have spent the last 10 years in Tanzania. But they're here today. They've got their family. Jeremy and Leah, so great to welcome you. Thank you for coming back, and you were just saying how great it is to be in the church again. You know, for many who may not be familiar with the family, I'd love you to do an introduction of the kids. And we were just saying, 19 years. Ryan, your oldest, wasn't even born at that time.
When we first came here, that's right. He was still
not on the way.
On the way. So this is Ryan. He is 17 and in grade 11. And then we have Paul, 15 and in grade 10. And lastly, we have Marie, and she is 12 years old and in grade 6.
Great. Just one last thing about the boys that maybe people don't know, that where you are in Tanzania, you actually send the kids off to boarding school, yeah, which is the Rift Academy. Many will be familiar with that, as you are working with AIM, which is African Inland Missions. So it's a little different having them not home with you every day. We've had a chance to chat a little about that, and the kids... You know, I was asking them, where is home? Is home back when you come back, is Victoria home or is Victoria Africa? Because they've spent more time in Africa than they have at home. And their response was, home is where mom and dad are. And that is a heartfelt response. I love that even though you have all these different places, and we kind of talked about you guys being a little nomadic, you know, that you guys associate home with mom and dad. And so not being attached to a building or a place, but to people. So thank you for that. We want to just, it's been 4 years since you were here last, and we want to know a little more about what's going on in your world and how you guys have been being used by God in a mighty way. So as a kid, I used to think that missions was, the only missions job was going to Africa, being out in the wilderness and having to battle the snakes. You really haven't changed my mind on that. Because you tell me some stories of the wildlife, and I've heard the fire ants coming through the house and all that kind of stuff. But that's not all you do. I'd love to hear more about, you know, it's been 4 years since you were here. Tell us more about what you've been up to those last 4 years.
So we've been the team leaders on a training team for the last couple of years, and prior to that, we were prepping for that team. So we went into a small Muslim village, and we team led for 7 adults and 7 kids for the last couple of years. So teaching them everything they need to know to do ministry and church planting in a rural setting in Africa. So that's what we've been doing.
Expand on that a little bit, because that's such a wide scope. You were sharing a story recently about an orphan baby, and that baby at home right now is celebrating a second year, and the team back home. So maybe share a little how that happened, that journey that you walked through. You know, for those who get your newsletters or see your video clips, you have some real God-working stories that happen to you on a daily basis. Because as we talk about, you wait upon God. Here in North America, I'm ashamed to say that we have so much stuff around us that we have what we think we need versus what we really need. You guys really need God, and you depend on Him every day. But tell me the story of that situation, of that family, how that little one came to being, and where they're at today.
So one of the 7 kids on our team was a little guy who was born a couple of years ago, and his mom died giving birth to him, and his birth family was not in a position where they could take him on. And so we took him into our house for the first month. And then actually our Tanzanian teammates, they came and they said to us, do you think the family would agree if we would take him into our family? And so we had a big village meeting, and it was a real testimony to our neighbors who are from a different religion, and none of them really wanted to do it. And here's this couple that don't know them from a different tribe and a different religion, and it was a real testimony. And he's still part of their family. I got to give him his name. It's Tumaini, and it means hope. So, yeah, he's just a joy.
So, Leah just came home and said, "Hey, Jeremy, congratulations! You're a dad again, or what?"
We did have a conversation beforehand. It was at, "What do you think of this?" And I really was hesitant. I did not want to raise another kid. But we talked it over. We talked with our friends around us and our neighbors, with our teammates, and they said that yes, this is something that you guys can do.
Now that's just one story. I mean, you've got so many. We talked about the wells that have been dug and the orchards that have been planted and all that stuff. 4 years is a lot to ask for you to kind of give us in a matter of a few minutes, but this was a planned home assignment for you. And a home assignment means that you're not in the field, but you're here and you're still working really hard. Like a lot of times when you come home, you're fundraising and you're checking in with those who are supporting you and you're sharing a lot of your stories to encourage us, to let us know exactly how God is using you each day. Your coming home was really abrupt this time. You had a planned schedule to come home. I believe you were coming in June. And all of a sudden, you arrived on the doorstep in early April. Was it March?
March 22nd.
Yeah.
So tell us how that came to being, and tell us a little more about how that has impacted you.
Sure. So our team was scheduled to end anyway at the end of April, and actually we tossed around a few plans, but initially we thought we were just going to take on our next assignment and go straight to Uganda. So we had actually gotten to the point where we weren't going to come to Canada at all. But yeah, the virus in China has started to expand to the rest of the world. And slowly it trickled down to where it was affecting daily life in Tanzania. So a couple of our team, when they got a recall from their government, their parents decided that actually they needed to make that decision and go. And so our plans kind of for an ending kind of came to, it became obvious that we're not going to be able to end the way we planned.
Mm-hmm. What was going to be a very well-planned transition where we had our Easter and our farewell celebration in the village where we were going to be able to say our thank yous and our goodbyes, do it well and do it in a culturally appropriate manner, that got set to the side. Then we were going to say farewell to the church 2 weeks later. And then with the end of large gatherings, we weren't going to be doing that either. And then when our team members left, that left very few people to have a final debrief with.
And we also got the advice that if we didn't go now, that the borders would be shut and we would be in Tanzania indefinitely. And since we couldn't get to Uganda and we couldn't really do homeschool with our kids in the village, it started to make sense to come home. So within a 12-hour period, we were on the plane. So we kind of packed up everything and left everything that couldn't be packed into a couple of boxes with our teammates, our Tanzanian teammates who are still there, and we found ourselves in cold Canada.
And it is cold. Maria was shivering today.
Yeah, we're freezing.
Yeah. It was interesting, I think that was Ryan that made the reference that you packed up your lives in 12 boxes, and you said, no, it was less than that. So everything you have, your possessions, everything that has worldly value to you came in 10 boxes, 9 boxes, whatever it was, but most of us can't even kind of comprehend that.
Well, to be honest, we're not even sure what some of the things that were in those boxes were. It actually has no worldly value to us. we travel light through life.
Well, hopefully none of those spitting cobras got in those boxes.
We've checked. There's none.
Okay. Leah, I don't want to upset you, But we had a conversation upon your arrival. We had a chance to visit through a window, a screen window. And you shared a lot about a little of the anxiety you actually felt when you left so abruptly and what you didn't get to do. And your care was really in concern for the people back there. You know, we talked about, like, here we can put on a mask, we can jump in a car, we can go to the gas station, we can get groceries. There, if somebody gets ill, like, the healthcare system doesn't exist. How are you managing that now as we're 7 weeks in?
Well, a little bit better, I think. We're still in touch with people back home, and things are as they're settling out, and we know that people are okay. It's better, but yeah, nobody wants to just tear up their life and dismantle in 12 hours and move. So that was not being able to say goodbye properly was really, really a painful experience for us, and something that we continue to grieve through.
Yeah. And you just referenced home. So it's home for you, and that's also your family.
Yeah, absolutely. We were blessed to be a part of a village that really embraced us, and they call us Wazagua. So we are part of that tribe and that family, and it really is an extended family. It's one of the things we miss the most is our community.
You know, that's really great to hear, because the last time you were here, we had conversation about people in the village actually praying outside your window. You heard them each morning praying that the white people would go away. And now here you are in the city center, or the village center, and adopting one of their own, bringing them into your home and showing the love of Christ. And that is such a transformation now. You haven't told me that's not still happening outside your window. It may still be happening. But I think the way you've been accepted and the way you have accepted others is truly an amazing example of, we talk about living 6-8 and really being the hands and feet of Jesus. So thank you for the work you're doing, and thank you for continuing to answer God's call. I want to ask you now, what are the future plans for the Karans?
We really, really want to go back to Africa. It'll be to Uganda, not Tanzania this time. We still believe that God has work for us to do there. Ryan and Paul want to finish off their school at Rift Valley Academy, and there's a great school in Kampala, Uganda, for Marie to go to. And there's work for us to do there as well. We would take on a leadership role in the central region for AIM. So that would be helping to oversee the AIM missionaries in Uganda, Central African Republic, South Sudan, DRC, Rwanda, Burundi, and Chad. And so we would help with the administration of all of those people, and help in developing leadership programs, help in member care, make sure that our people are well taken care of. That's where our heart's desire is.
And in the middle of that, you both continue to grow. And if I'm not mistaken, Jeremy, you already have completed a master's, and Leah, you're on about to start one? Or am I got that wrong?
Just about. I'm writing my dissertation.
Okay. Yeah. But you're heading into a master's program.
Yeah, I'm doing a master's in member care.
In member care. Mm-hmm. Wow, fabulous. So let's give you an opportunity. As I said earlier, you wait upon the Lord all the time, and he shows himself in amazing ways. Tell us a little about how that's happened, even since you've landed here in Victoria.
So as you can imagine, as all the flights were starting to dry up, the price of a flight when you have 12 hours notice is not the cheap one. So we came back with quite a bill to pay. It was $15,000, and within a few weeks of having landed, that's been wiped clean. So that's been amazing. We also, the Lord's provided a place for us to stay and a car to drive, and we're just really grateful. Yeah.
That's really awesome. So as we talk about you heading back, what are the prayers that we can do, and how can we support you? What kind of support? Are you I believe you're still in need of some financial support, are you not?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we have a couple of things that we need to cover: our flights back and a setup cost there. We left pretty much everything behind, so now we have to start again in a new city, new country. So we have about $4,000 more to raise there, I believe. Leah's got another year of school that we need to pay for. That's coming up, I think, in October, and that'll be another $6,000 or so. And then about $700, an increase in our monthly support.
So you need $10,000, plus you need an additional $700 in monthly support.
That's about right.
Piece of cake, SBC. I know you can do it. All right. How can we be praying for you in the days ahead?
So, yeah, our kids evacuated twice. They first evacuated from their school in Kenya, and within a week, we were evacuated out of Tanzania. So they're feeling a little unsettled, so continued prayers for that, also as they navigate online school, and we navigate online school with them. But just also, this is a strange world for us to land in. It's always strange coming back to Canada, but it's especially strange during these COVID times. So you can pray that we'd be able to connect with people. That's really when we come home, that's what we'd like to do, is to be able to connect, and that's needing some ingenuity and some creative thinking. And then just pray that the doors would open so we can go we'd like to go back to Tanzania to say goodbye properly, but then on to Uganda.
It may be too premature to ask you right now, but what do you have an anticipation of when you'd like to go back?
We'd really like to be back by middle of August. Marie will start her school right about then, and Ryan and Paul start school late August. So that would give us some time to get settled, show Ryan and Paul the city where we're going to be living, and get them off to school.
Well, Jeremy and Lee, as we come to a wrap on this, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, there's a lot of things that we didn't get a chance to talk about, but one of the big things is that through the help of SBC, there's a school running in our village now. And as we were leaving, actually the day we left, we got the shipment of the desks for the grade one class that'll start in January. And those kids are just so grateful, and they wanted me to tell a big thank you to the church.
So can you do that for us in Swahili?
Asante sana.
Asante sana.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So, as we're getting close to wrapping this up, it's been great to have Jeremy and Leah with us. And during a conversation I had with them earlier, I was kind of mentioning, you know, Mother's Day is a big day. And Leah said, well, we don't really celebrate Mother's Day. But you know what? Today we're going to celebrate because it's a really special day. Today, one of their children, Ryan, their oldest, has decided this is the day he's going to get baptized. And so as a parent, you have an opportunity to baptize your own child. Celebrate that, and know that's the work you've done as great parents, not only loving God, but sharing your love of God with your kids. It's one of the greatest honors we have, so it's a great day. So we're gonna celebrate that with you. Thank you for allowing us to do it with you here at Sandwich Baptist. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the Krans. I thank you for all of them, and I thank you for their hearts for the people of Africa, and especially Tanzania, Lord, as we talk about separation and how hard it is. I thank you that family is their family. And the way they've just cared for each and every one of them in their villages, Lord, the work that you have done through them in these last 10 years is just phenomenal, Lord, and we only know that only you can do it. And as we go forward, Lord, again, we put things in your hands, Lord. We ask for provision. We thank you for what has been accomplished just since they've arrived even, Lord, but there are bills to go home. And we want to be able to continue to see them grow in their faith, and also grow in their personalities and in their strength of being able to care for others, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you will meet these financial needs for schooling, for expenses, for flights home, Lord, for their month-to-month expenses. Lord, I just pray that you will touch the hearts of those who are able to support them at this time, Lord, and that's all of us. So I pray, Lord, that you will make that to them quickly. Lord, I also just pray for them as they just figure out directions and going back, and whether the timelines are around that, Lord, that they get a chance to go back to Tanzania, they get a chance to say proper farewells to those that they've loved and lived with for so many years. Lord, we just thank you for them. We commit them to your care. And Lord, we ask these things in your precious Son, in Jesus' name. Amen.